You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles. The time now is 1 p.m.
From the icy cold curves of Angeles Crest to the sunny shores of PCH, this is The Car Show, broadcasting this week and every week on KPFK, around the world too on kpfk.org. Yes, that's right, 90.7 FM Los Angeles. We've been doing this for over 52 years, although you might not always be able to tell that. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn at autoweek.com. I am joined this week by our semi-regular co-host, former sub-editor of Super Street Magazine, former executive of Kelley Blue Book and Edmunds.com, current executive analyst for iccars.com, owner of more cool cars than almost anyone we know, Carl the Power Brower. Welcome, Carl.
Woo! Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me on again. I love talking cars, and if there's someone willing to listen, I love it even more. So let's do this.
Let's do this. We are going to have to do this week without Michelle Spencer, who is on vacation back in the Motor City. People go to Detroit for vacation. So, Michelle, if you're listening, she's probably going to listen on kpfk.org, isn't she? She's going to, oh, I miss you guys, man. So anyway,
if there's anywhere you're allowed to go to miss the LA car show, it's Motor City.
Motor City. Yep, that's right. Okay, let's roll right into the calendar. And we're going to start off. This is Memorial Day weekend, as you know, and all weekend long, anybody who is a veteran or an active duty military can get into the Peterson Automotive Museum for free. That's a pretty good deal. I would say that runs until Monday, May 26th. Visitors will be treated, of course, to an incredible collection of exhibits, including People's Champ, the impact of Ken Block, whom everybody loved in all his videos, to Cars Are Beautiful, Mr. Brainwash. That's that funky artist who does all kinds of crazy car stuff. I like that. I wrote a story about it for autoweek.com, so you can go and check that out too. And there's, of course, vault tours and everything. I think the vault tours are a little bit more. That's going to be at the Peterson through Monday, free admission to active duty military and veterans. So if you have your little military ID card, you know, the one that when you get pulled over by the police, they ask for your driver's license, you say, oh, excuse me, I accidentally started to show you my military ID card. Let me get my license. How many vets do we know who do that? I know at least one, and he's listening probably. So anyway, thank you, veterans. Go to the Peterson. Have a good time. Carl, take us to Paris.
I was just going to say, all the smart ones, they're the ones who I know that would do that. That's because that's what I'd do. Next race night at Paris Auto Speedway, May 24th. So coming up on Memorial Day weekend, we've got the Salute to Indy night. Gates open at 5 p.m. USAC CRA 410 sprint cars, senior sprints, young guns, pass cars, street stocks, and factory stock cars will be on the oval dirt track with qualifying starting at 7 p.m. Bypasses at the gate or in advance. And you can find all the directions, tickets, and other information at Paris. That's P-E-R-R-I-S, not like that city in France or whatever. ParisAutoSpeedway.com.
Thank you, Carl. You've been out there, haven't you, to Paris?
I have been out there. It's been way too long, but I know I've been out there at least once or twice since I moved here decades ago and did think it was a pretty cool setup. But, I mean, it's perfect for those kind of races.
It is a really well done. It's a modern take on the typical old, you know, Ascot style dirt track. And especially with those 410 sprint cars, there's going to be some loud noises and plenty of power going around that track. That'll be fun. If you do not want to drive that far, May 25th, Carcadia. We love this one because of the name. What city is it held in? It's held in Arcadia, and it's about cars. Carcadia, that works for me. It is the last Sunday of every month, which to this weekend is tomorrow, May 25th, and it is from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Address 733 West Naomi Avenue in Arcadia. Go there just to say Carcadia. Carl, what's next down in your neck of the woods there, Santa Ana?
Yes, the Jordan Family Classic Cars and Hot Rod. It's the Haven Summertime Car Show, Saturday, May 31st. So this one you got a little more time to plan for. And it's 2851 Pullman Street in Santa Ana. It goes from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can check it out at Jordan Family LCC.
Yeah, JordanFamilyCC.com.
JordanFamilyCC.com. Cool trophies, prize drawing for a big screen TV and more. It's $20 for pre-registration. And if you don't get that handled, you can still pay at the gate $25.
All right. And we got even more. Let's see. Let's skip down to Manhattan Beach Cars and Coffee. Now, that's kind of funny because it's across the street from Manhattan Beach. It is actually in El Segundo, just like the Los Angeles Times is in El Segundo, not Los Angeles. The Manhattan Beach Cars and Coffee is likewise in El Segundo, but, you know, it's close to the beach. It's there at Rosecrans and Sepulveda. You cannot miss it. 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday, May 31st. So this is a week from today. We're planning ahead now. We are moving out, planning ahead. 8 to 10 a.m. Sunday. Saturday, excuse me. At the actual address is 850 South Sepulveda Boulevard, El Segundo. If you want more information, ManhattanBeachCarsAndCoffee.com. South Bay's premier car event. Northeast corner of Rosecrans and PCH. In El Segundo. We're ping-ponging back and forth. So back down to the south, Carl.
See, that one's 8 to 10, and you're already in the South Bay. Why not head a little further south to San Clemente Car Show, also Saturday, May 31st from 10 to 3. So see, you just string them there together. 8 to 10, now 10 to 3 on the same day, Saturday next week. And the 29th annual show in historic downtown San Clemente, 250-plus classic cars, slot cars, which are cool. Live music. You can ride the trolley. And the website for the show is SC Cars. So that's SCCAR Show, SCCarshow.com, and also SCDBA.org. Either one of those websites will get more information.
San Clemente, the Timbo. The Timbo lives in San Clemente. We should
yes.
Say hi. Tim, are you listening? We haven't heard from him in a long time. He's retired now. Okay, back up here in Hollywood, and this is taking place June 1st. So it's called the Sunset GT. I have been to these before. They got kind of shut down for COVID, and they were out of business. Not out of business, but the show was not happening as a result of COVID. But it is back. Sunset GT. If you want to see supercars, this is the place to go. You will see, I guarantee you, you will see more supercars than at the LA Auto Show. How about that? That is a bold, sweeping proclamation. This is at Sunset Plaza, or more specifically, the parking lot behind Sunset Plaza, which overlooks Hollywood and most of Los Angeles. It is the most spectacular parking lot view in LA after the Dodger Stadium South Side and, okay, maybe the Mount Wilson parking lot, which really overlooks LA. But this one is very impressive, right there on Sunset Boulevard. The event is a gathering of supercars and hypercars put on by O'Gara Coach. O'Gara is one of the dealers that imports, you know, Pagani Huayras and Lamborghinis and Bentleys and Rolls Royces and all kinds of funky things. Address is 8623 West Sunset Boulevard in West Hollywood, California. That is, again, on June 1st between 9 and 11 a.m. I guarantee you, you will flip your lid. And speaking of flipping, hopefully not flipping and landing on the lid of your race car, we sort of discovered something that's been out there for a long time, Apple Valley Speedway. There is an event also on June 1st. And on September 20th and November 16th, there's a group that puts on sort of track days called Corner Exit, and they are putting on an event called a toge. That is how I pronounce it, T-O-U-G-E. And that is taking place also on June 1st at the Apple Valley Speedway. That is a facility most of the time people go out there to go drifting, but it is a road course, and it is way out in the middle of the desert. So if, God forbid, Willow Springs really does get too pricey for the average guy, consider Apple Valley Speedway. So if your club, your racing club, your Honda Civic club, or whoever wants a place to go, you can rent out Apple Valley Speedway probably for a lot less. So that's a lot of fun. June 1st and also September 20th, November 16th at Apple Valley Speedway. It's look it up on the internet there, applevalleyspeedway.com. Can't miss it. It's lots of fun. Carl, you want to take us to Pismo Beach?
I do. I've always liked Pismo Beach. Can you still drive your car there? I think you can. But anyways,
you can.
The classic at Pismo Beach. It's also, what's this? The SS Dragons also, goes on there.
Yeah. They don't know what that is.
Yeah. I think it's a component of it, but it's May 30th through June 1st. So it's essentially next weekend. And top down cruising in downtown Pismo Beach. It sounds like a pretty big deal, but kind of like that plaza, Sunset Plaza place. You know, so half the fun of going to these shows, Mark, is the atmosphere they're happening in, right? You know, so yeah. The cars are cool, but so is a great view of downtown at the Sunset Plaza or going out to Pismo Beach, which is really, I feel like it's still a community, a beach community that's probably fairly similar to how it was 30, 40 years ago. You know, it's up there away enough that it hasn't been overdeveloped and it's still very pretty.
And the cars at this show in Pismo Beach they look to be big American classics, you know, like 1950s Tri-5 Chevys and things like that. That seems to be the preferred kind of car that they have at this. I've never been to it, but they took some really beautiful pictures of these big American cruisers at sunset. So it's got to be good, right?
Sounds like it.
May 30th through June 1st. So you can do that. Our buddy Dave Koontz, who used to be the host here at the car show, is going to be emceeing. And I think he's also Grand Marshal at Huntington Beach Concours d'Elegance down in Huntington Beach. This is June 7th and 8th. We are going way out on the calendar here for your planning pleasure. Huntington Beach Central Park, 7111 Talbert Avenue in Huntington Beach. That's June 7th and 8th. I think on the first day they do, maybe they do race cars. The second day they do road cars. I'm not sure. It doesn't say on any of the material, so I'm just guessing on that one.
I was just going to say, what's good about that show is that it's got Concours d'Elegance. And, you know, a lot of people throw that word around. It really, you've been to that show, Mark. It's pretty Concours d'Elegance, isn't it? I mean, the quality of the cars, the atmosphere and all that. And of course, Dave's there. So that's always fun too, hosting the whole thing. But it really does feel like a very high-end car show.
I went there, 25 years ago. And the guy saw me and he says, hey, you want to be a judge? And I said, oh, okay. So my criteria for judging cars was if they had removed all the garbage from the trunk and the back seat, you know, that was 30 points. You know, it's a 100-point scale. That was the first 30 points. If they bothered to wash the car within the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, that was another 30 points. And if the thing looked good, then they got 100 points. So my criteria for judging began and ended at the Huntington Beach Concours d'Elegance. Hopefully, and I'm sure that they have raised the standards since then.
I just was going to say, it sounds like you're ready for Pebble in my mind. Pebble Beach is waiting for your judging expertise up there, Mark.
Strangely, they have not asked me to judge there, nor to really do much of anything. Sometimes they don't even give me a parking pass. So who knows? You know, it comes and goes with Pebble Beach. Last year, I got a fantastic parking pass at Pebble. This is how people in our business, Carl and I, this is how we judge everybody's social status, is like what parking credential you got at Pebble. And actually, if you're staying at the lodge at Pebble, then that's really the pinnacle. You can't get better than that.
Yep.
But, All right. Let's see. What else do we have? We have a couple of Italian things. As you know, I have a very highly valuable Lancia Appia, which is an Italian car. There are a couple of Italian events coming up. Dolce e Veloce. And they say it's on, baby, and they throw an exclamation mark there. That's at the Peterson on June 8th. And it's going to be all Italian cars. I think it's just one of those, like a Cruisins. It's on June 8th. You just drive in there and pay. You pay your money. I think they still want money from you for that. There was a bit of a controversy there because they alienated some of the car clubs. Ferrari Club no longer goes there. Some other club that I can't remember doesn't go there anymore. But, you know, the Peterson, it is a 501c3. It is not a, you know, they need money. They need your support. So bring our Italian car to Dolce e Veloce at the Peterson on June 8th. You can check it out at peterson.org/events. It should be there. Lots of good stuff. And now Carl's going to take us to Culver City.
Yeah. We're doing the Colorado? Sorry.
No. Helms Bakery, Cars and Coffee, Carl. We talked about this.
Bakery,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, Helms Bakery, Cars and Coffee is, maybe it's not on the copy I gave you. Okay, sorry.
I don't see this anywhere. I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
This is, I'm throwing Carl under the bus, apparently, because I sent him a copy of the script, and then I saw this event, and I put it on the script. My apologies, Carl, and my apologies to the listeners across Southern California. Helms Bakery, Cars and Coffee is put on by our buddy Johnny Lieberman. There's no H in Johnny, by the way, if you're signing, if you're writing in for a fan mail for a, you know, autograph photo or something, he would be really impressed if you did not put the H in his name. This is taking place on Sunday, June 8th at the Helms Bakery. Do you remember the Helms Bakery truck? Oh, you didn't grow up here. You grew up in Colorado, right, Carl?
I have no memory. The only thing I know about Helms is owner's manuals, right?
I don't know that Helms makes owner's manuals. You got me on that one. But Helms used to drive, they had a whole fleet of trucks. Now, in my era, I think they were the GMC panel vans. And the Helms Bakery man, he wore an 8-cornered hat and a double-breasted blazer. It was quite a production. And they had this distinct whistle. And they would come down the street, and everybody would come out of their house and buy donuts and bread and all kinds of things from the Helms Bakery man. It was a lot of fun. If you grew up in Southern California, you remember this. So at the bakery, the actual bakery, they're having a Cars and Coffee on Sunday, June 8th from 8 in the morning to 10 in the morning. And Johnny says, quote, "We'll have coffee for sale before 8 a.m. We promise." So that's good enough for me, right? And he teams up once again with a guy named Chef Sang Yoon and Helms Bakery. Those entities, all three of them, have teamed up to hopefully recreate the good vibes of the first one. I was not able to go to the first one. Maybe I can get out there to this one. I don't know. It says, bring a fun car and bring some friends. Parking spots are first come, first served, so you might want to show up a little early. That is on Sunday, June 8th. At the old Helms Bakery, and I am going to, while Carl talks about the next event, if it's on your script, then I will look up the address of the Helms Bakery because it was not on the thing. Go ahead, Carl.
Well, real quick, just to make sure I wasn't losing my mind, I was like, maybe I'm not imagining this. So I typed in Helms, and of course, the bakery came right up in Google, but then I added books, manuals, and I did get Helm Inc., helminc.com, helminc.com, OEM authorized owner and service manuals, number one source for OEM owners and service manuals. So for all the LA car people listening to this show, if you're trying to get an owner's manual for a relatively recent or even an older model vehicle, try helminc.com. You can order one. Anyways, back to you.
That's good. Wait, Carl, I've got the address, 3220 Helms Avenue, in LA, California. It's like right next to Culver City. Okay, we have fulfilled our obligation to Johnny Lieberman. He will not trash us on social media.
Well, I'm not sure we're that. I don't know if we're that guaranteed, but yes, it's probably less likely now. 23rd Annual Police Department Car Show, and rev up your engines for a day of automotive fun, June 14th at 300 East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. That's from 10 to 3. On June 14th. And if you have a car you would like to show off in the City of Roses, pre-registration by June 7th, 2025 includes one dash plaque and one limited edition t-shirt while supplies last. and get ready to admire some coolest rides around. Chat with fellow car enthusiasts and enjoy delicious drinks and foods. This event is free to the public.
And just quickly, way out in the future, just for planning purposes for you here, Sunday, June 15th, Concours on Rodeo. We're hoping to have our good buddy Bruce Meyer on to talk about that in a couple of weeks. That is always a good, they shut down Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills. Everybody just wanders around. They have like 100 cars there. Really fun. Lots and lots of fun. I'm scrolling down to make sure. Oh, yeah. Honda HQ is having another one of their cars, bikes, and coffee on Saturday, June 21st from 9 to 1. We'll keep talking about that. We'll tell you about Electrify Expo, June 21st to 22nd, a little bit later. And, oh, one more thing. We're 30 seconds over our calendar section. Gene Winfield, Celebration of Life, June 28th at the Estrella Warbirds Museum in Paso Robles. We'll talk about all that next time. But now we're on to the news. You ready for news, Carl?
I'm always ready for news. Love news.
All right. We have been talking extensively. I have been writing all day about this, and I still don't have it straight. But it appears that there are no more emissions regulations in the United States anymore. Is that your take on it, Carl?
It's roll coal time, baby. Roll the coal. And don't worry about getting coal in trouble.
Yep. So this means that trucks are going to be rolling off the assembly line, coal spewing directly into the atmosphere. They're just standing in the bed of the pickup truck, shoveling pollutants into the atmosphere.
It also, Mark, means that if someone steals your catalytic converter, you don't care anymore. Fine, take it. I don't care. Take it and recycle it for copper. I don't give a, take the palladium and the the platinum. I don't care. So yeah, this is wild. I mean, could you imagine California without emissions testing? It's almost inconceivable, really.
That would, that would be nice. But at the same time, I don't know what the air was like in Colorado where you were in clean, clear mountain air. That's why you're so healthy, Carl. I grew up in Southern California, and I remember, I was alive starting in 1959, and I remember we'd be outside playing, and you'd take a deep breath and your lungs would actually hurt. And I'm thinking, this is a very interesting sensation. I wonder what's causing it. Maybe it's air pollution. And it was. They cleaned up the air pollution. And now the House and Senate has passed this bill. The president is probably going to sign it. I don't know exactly when. He may have already signed it by now. And they are essentially, from my take on it, there's the DOT, the EPA and NHTSA they have no more emissions rules anymore. So it used to be that California, the original Clean Air Act, was signed into law by none other than Richard Nixon, a Republican president, signed into law the Clean Air Act. Part of that Clean Air Act allowed states, namely California, to write their own emissions laws, which were stricter and resulted actually in a lot of clean air around the world because we sort of led the way on that. Well, now this new law, which I don't know if it's a law, the big, beautiful budget is what it's being called. It is the big, beautiful budget act. And that is essentially, from my take on it, eliminating any kind of emissions requirements. I don't know. We're going to have to learn more about this, but I read through the laws. I read through the wording. It would be good to have Michelle on. Maybe she could give her legal take on this, but it sounds like it's just, straight pipes and dirty, inefficient carburetors. No more gasoline direct injection. Carl, tell me what's going on.
All I know is I can't wait till someone puts a carburetor on a Prius. It's going to be so cool. That's going to be so cool. Think about that. No, in all seriousness, it's kind of crazy because I believe it or not, by the way, Denver had its own problems. Denver is actually in a pit. People don't know that, but at downtown of Denver, in every direction, that you go west, the mountains are there. So of course it goes up. It actually goes slightly up from where Denver's downtown is to the east and south and north too. And as a result, air would get kind of stuck. There's old pictures or paintings of like, burning fire from the Western, you know, cowboys, and it's going up like a couple hundred feet and then stopping because there's some kind of inversion thing going on with the city right. being down there. And so we had we called it the brown cloud is what it was called in Colorado when I was growing up and all. And you'd see it. If you were up in the mountains and you looked down at Denver, it was like this, there was like this pea soup surrounding the whole downtown area. And the air was kind of bad there. So Colorado has almost been almost as aggressive as California in air cleaning efforts for decades. And you were right, Mark, because between California having so many cars that are sold in it and then like 10 other states or 9 other states that do everything California does, by the time you put those 10 or 11 states together that all live by California's rules, the car companies are like, well, it doesn't matter if the federal mandate's lower than the California mandate. If those 10 states, one of them being California, all have higher mandate, we have to make all our cars pass that level. So California was essentially dictating national air standards, even though
In a lot of cases.
Yeah. And plenty of people, you could argue correctly, were like, should a state be defining federal levels of air cleaning, air quality standards?
But the federal government gave them the right to do that.
Well, and that was what a lot of people were saying is, should the government have essentially handed off the ability to mandate federal standards to a state? So apparently the current administration has decided, no, they shouldn't. So they're pulling that out. And the other thing that's interesting is that essentially ends the EV argument, right? The reason that EVs were being pushed both kind of psychologically, but also in a regulatory way, was because those were the only things that could meet the increasing standards for air pollution. And so if you pull these things, there's no real need from a regulatory thing. Plenty of people could argue the clean air part, but if you're looking to keep your cars from being fined and paying fines as automakers, there aren't going to be fines anymore if you don't make enough EVs. So that's going to pull that. And they're also about to pull the $7,500 incentive mark on EVs.
Right.
So if you pull
by the end of the year, December 31st, no more $7,500 federal tax credit. And also, not just that, there were tax credits on clean hydrogen production, clean electricity production, energy efficient homes, nuclear power plants, alternative fuel vehicle refueling properties, energy efficient homes, I already said that, and a CO2 sequestration. You got tax credits for all that. All of it is gone and out the window. It's crazy. It's Armageddon out there, man.
I would say it's fracking crazy is what it is. It's we're completely fracked.
We are. We are. I don't know what's going to actually happen with this. The state of California has announced that it is going to sue the federal government. I assume there will be other lawsuits. Will those lawsuits be decided one way and then the Trump administration ignores them as they seem to want to do with everything? I don't know what's going to happen. It is a scary time, and to breathe all the clean air you can right now, because as of the recording of this show, it sounds like it's all going away, man.
Well, I'm going to do what I should have done in March of 2020, Mark. Invest in some air masks, you know, in face mask companies. N95, who makes those N95s? Now, where's all those filters? Who's making
those? You need more than N95. It's CO2 is a pretty small molecule and can probably get inside of an N95 mask. I don't know, man. It is scary times. Should we move on from this? Because it's too depressing to continue talking about that. Let's move on to our next thing.
I don't know. I'm browsing right now looking for some old diesel trucks I can roll coal in. But all right, fine. We'll go on to something else.
Let's talk about some good news. PCH has reopened. Pacific Coast Highway between Malibu and Santa Monica reopened to the public yesterday, Friday, for the first time since the January 7th Palisades fire. That's an 11-mile stretch of this iconic highway hugging the coast, reopened at 8 a.m. Friday, after being limited to first responders and residents for most of the year. Motorists on the highway, you have to keep in mind that you will probably, there's a lot of security out there. So, you know, if you're planning on going out and looting, it's not a good idea because there's still a lot of security out there. But PCH, as you hear this now, is open. or as we record this now, it's open. We'll see. But it sounds like sort of good news. That's some good news in you know, in a way, right, Carl?
Well, no, it's extremely good news because as someone who used to work at Edmunds.com in Santa Monica and had to commute to Camarillo, I almost always used PCH because it was better than the alternative, which was the 10-405-101. And a lot of people have been complaining about how bad the 405 has been for the last couple months. And I know it's because there are a certain amount of people that would use PCH as a pressure relief. If you lived far enough west in West LA and would stay west going home, like I did to Camarillo, PCH made a very good alternative until the fires from 405. That's loaded up the 405. Now we're getting back PCH just in time for Mark.
For what? I don't know. Landslide season?
The 405 is going to get screwed.
Oh, that's right. The 405. Okay. Yes. We were talking about this. So don't get too complacent because the 405 is going to be, remember Carmageddon? That was the, when they had to close down the 405 for just one weekend. Well, looking at dot.ca.gov/Caltrans, Interstate 405 Sepulveda Pass pavement rehabilitation project. We don't know exactly when this is going to happen because on dot.gov, it doesn't say, it says spring, summer, it's going to start and it could go on for a long time. The project covers a 10.2 mile stretch of 405 between Los Angeles and Van Nuys, between Van Nuys and Westwood, essentially, which is basically the Sepulveda Pass. The project consists of replacing sections of two lanes in each direction from Victory Boulevard to Mulholland Drive. Sections of other lanes will be repaired to enhance safety and improve mobility along the primary corridor between West LA and the Valley. The project also includes restoring, replacing two overhead sign structures, 98 sign panel replacements, upgrading 6,400 feet of metal beam guardrail, and upgrading 10 curb ramps. That is, I don't know how long that's going to take, but they're spending $143 million of our money to do it. So just stay home, everybody. No, go out on PCH.
So now go overrun PCH just as the closure of PCH overran the 405 for the last 4 months.
Well, that's probably why they're opening up PCH is because they're going to, you know.
No, there's no doubt in my mind, Mark. There's no doubt in my mind that they're like, okay, we cannot be starting to tear up the 405 and also still have the PCH messed up. So they are fixing, they're reopening one. And again, PCH doesn't work for almost anybody who uses the 405, but there is a percentage that can use PCH as an alternative. It's going to be ugly.
I would just get a boat.
Or a helicopter.
Or a jetpack. Where are the jetpacks we were promised?
I know.
Highway 2, Angeles Crest Highway, is still open to Islip Saddle, but it is closed between Islip Saddle and Wrightwood. You're saying, where the heck is Islip Saddle? What am I, a backpacker? How do I know where that is? That is where Highway 39 used to connect to it, but it's been closed. Highway 39, the last 4 miles of that has been closed since 1978. So you can still drive up Angeles Crest Highway to Newcombs, have a nice little drive up there, but you cannot go all the way to Wrightwood. And let's just throw in one more since we're talking about highways and what's open and what's not. Have you ever heard of Nacimiento Ferguson Road, also known as Nasty Fergie Road? that connects the California coast up south of Big Sur. It connects the Highway 1 up there with Highway 101. So it goes over the Santa Lucia Mountains. It is very narrow, very dangerous, and the most beautiful road you will ever go on. I rode back from the Quail Moto Fest on a motorcycle, and I came over that road. It is just absolutely gorgeous, but it is also very narrow, a lot of blind corners, and you're not going to be able to, you just be very careful if you go. It's a lot of blind corners, but keep in mind, Highway 1 up in that area is still shut down south of Big Sur. So north of Lucia and south of Big Sur, Highway 1 is still closed. I read a report in the San Luis Obispo Tribune that said that the ground there is still moving as much as a foot a day. So plan accordingly, as they say. Let's move on, Carl. Let's move on to Hollywood. Are you ready? Are you ready for another great racing movie that gets it right, that gets racing right?
Oh, well, you had to put that second part in there. Wait a second here. You know, I'm always ready for Hollywood movies, and I'm usually prepared for them to, let's just say, not be very good. But you're saying something different here. You're saying ready for a new movie that won't be bad. I'm not going to use that other word.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what how good it is. I have seen. There's going to be a story. It might be up now at autoweek.com where I put all three of the trailers for that movie up in a single story so you can watch them all. And I watched them all, and I don't know. Like, Carl, wouldn't you say bad trailer, good movie, good movie, bad trailer? Isn't that true? So the trailers make it look, I don't know. I'm not a film critic, but they make it everything look kind of forced with this, I don't know, fake drama between the antagonist and the protagonist. And of course, there's a love interest that, you know, Brad Pitt has. Of course, he must have a love interest, as he did in Thelma and Louise. And from then on, there are lots of crashes, lots of fights. It's kind of like it's almost like a cross between World Wrestling Federation, NASCAR, and Formula One. So, I don't know. But that's just looking at the three trailers. Now, interestingly enough, they showed the movie to the drivers at Monaco, because everybody's in Monaco now getting ready for, of course, the Monaco Grand Prix, which is this weekend. And as part of that, they showed them all the movie. And everybody who saw it, there's a story at AutoWeek.com about this too, not to plug my own outlet, but all of the drivers gave a favorable responses to the movie. None of them said it was terrible, and they all had something good to say, and it didn't sound like they were just being polite. So I don't know, man, could be good. What do you think?
Ford versus Ferrari, there's a few of them out there. You know, it's possible to make Rush was really good. It's possible to make a good movie about racing. It's not easy, but it's possible. It's been proven, and I am hopeful. And it's encouraging to hear what the F1 driver's response was.
It's funny, Lewis Hamilton, who is a producer on the movie, he said that he was concerned that he wanted the drivers to like it, and he did. So obviously, there's got to be it's got to be good to a certain point. I mean, they couldn't just make a complete jerky of it. They shot it for 2 years at actual racetracks, on the actual racetracks with the actual drivers. There's a lot of footage there of that happening, just like the original movie Grand Prix in 1966, John Frankenheimer's seminal piece that even to this day, everybody says, yeah, that was a good movie. That was good. And
that was Rockford. Rockford was in that, right?
James Garner, he was the guy. And I guess it was originally going to be Steve McQueen, but he got all miffed at some meeting and stormed out. And so James Garner took it. So James Garner, he was a good guy. He would show up at events at the Peterson Automotive Museum. He was a real car guy. He liked cars.
Yeah, James. I like it.
Yeah. So anyway, F1 movie opens June 27th. Hopefully one of us will get a pass and we'll be able to see it and give you a review before it opens. We'll see. You know, we are major Hollywood players, aren't we, Carl? You and I?
As far as the audience knows, sure. Yes, we are.
All right. Speaking of reviews, we're going to move on. Just a couple of quick things that I did. And I just want to say, you know, good job to the guys who put these events together. First is the Quail Moto Fest, which used to be called the Quail, a Motorcycle Gathering. I guess they thought that Moto Fest was a more popular name for it. It is really, it's the Pebble Beach of motorcycles. And that took place last weekend. I rode a motorcycle up to it and back 750 miles or something. It was a lot of riding. I'm telling you, I might be getting too old for that. But the show was really done, really nicely done. Had some great old bikes. There was an Indian, a 1913 Indian that had been in the same family for five generations. So the guy's great grandfather bought it, and he showed me the registration sticker for it. He bought it in Texas, and it's still in the family. It still runs, and they showed it there. That was nice. There was a tribute to, how do you say it? Bimota, B-I-M-O-T-A.
I think it's just Bimota.
Bimota, and they had some really beautiful bikes there, including the funky hub steering bikes that Bimota is kind of known for. They had a modern one that they're doing. Just a lot of really nice bikes. Yamaha was there. Yamaha was the only corporate presence there. So good for them. Clap, clap, clap to Quail Moto Fest. Also, last Sunday, I went to Benedict Castle Concours. Really nice show, just all kinds of different cars. It was, it's a good show for a good cause. There's a Teen Challenge, which is a drug treatment program out there with an 88% success rate. And all the proceeds from the show went to that. So good job to Benedict Castle Concours, and plan on being at both of those events next year. Okay, on to the cars that we drive, because this is the car show. And Carl was just, where were you, Carl? Where did this event take place?
I was in Big D, baby. Toyota headquarters. Every year they have started doing this tradition of taking a bunch of journalists out there. And if you're willing to be there for 4 days, and because I'm a generous guy, I was, but they flew me out Monday and I didn't get back until Thursday. And this past week, but I got to see a whole lot of cool Toyota Lexus stuff. And they did the global unveil of the new RAV4, kind of an important car. They sell one or two of those every year. You might
that is the that biggest car. Selling Toyota in the world, right? Or in
it's the US? Best. It's the best selling Toyota in the U.S. It's the best selling compact SUV in that category. It's also the best selling SUV. Take all the SUVs sold in this country right now. The number one selling SUV in the U.S., Toyota RAV4. Same in Canada, I'm pretty sure, too. Best-selling car up there. So an all-new one of those, kind of a big deal. And they showed it off, and it's got a bunch of styling updates. They introduced a new woodland version that's more off-road oriented. And they're going to have a new, you know, they used to call it the Prius Prime and the RAV4 Prime, and they pulled those names because I think people like Prime. So now they just call them plug-in hybrids, because that's what that meant. It meant it was the plug-in hybrid version. So all the Toyota RAV4s will have hybrid drivetrains, kind of like the Camry did on its redesign. There is no non-hybrid version of a Camry. Now there's no non-hybrid version of a Toyota RAV4, but there is a plug-in version, which they've had before, but this one supposedly will go up to 50 miles before it has to engage the engine, which is funny because apparently nobody cares about air quality anymore. So who cares if it can run on electricity for 50 miles, right, Mark?
Yeah, they just came out with this all hybrid lineup just in time for emissions to not matter anymore. Oh, man. Nobody understands that the auto industry runs at least 5 to 10 years ahead of the present day. Nobody seems to be able to grasp that.
Which means we're going to have nothing but, you know, cloud puking V8s. And the next administration is going to come in and be like, hey, you know, all those air standards we used to have, they're coming back. So,
yep.
And this is why the auto executives pull their hair out. But so, yeah, we saw that. We saw the new BZ, which used to be the BZ4X or whatever. I remember always thinking it was a kludgy name. Well, thankfully, Toyota did too. So they've dropped two of the four letters in the alphanumeric name, and now it's just the Toyota BZ. It's their pure electric car. A lot of people are like, I didn't think Toyota made electric cars. Well, they barely did. But this one has been redone, and it's much more compelling now. It's got longer range, and it's got better performance. It looks better. So they basically just drastically improved the pure electric, basically the one pure electric car they were offering, the BZ. Again, just in time for no one to care. But it does look better, and it's got better performance all around, better, faster charging, the whole thing. And then they had like the new Lexus ES, which, you know, Nobody is supposed to say that that's a Camry and a Tux. Don't say that. That'll make the Toyota people mad. So don't say that the ES is a Camry and a Tux. Don't say that. Okay. It's not a Camry and a Tux.
I think you just said it about 14 times. But
Darn it. Oh, shoot. I wasn't supposed to say that. No. I was supposed to make sure that you don't say that. Anyways, it is a really nice vehicle. It's a very nice luxury sedan that Lexus has made basically since the brand came out in 1989. And it's the newest version of that. And one thing I would say is that all the new Toyotas, you remember flame surfacing, that term in like the mid 2000s on BMWs, you know, like the bangle and all that kind of stuff going on. I feel like there's kind of, and then I feel like there was a little of that going on with the Sonata, the Hyundai Sonata around 2012, 2013, when that thing came out, the new one came out, and it got a lot of attention because it had this aggressive styling. I feel like I'm seeing some kind of shades of that on the newest Toyotas. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, by the way. It's kind of cool looking. The Toyota is really, between their driving dynamics and now their styling, they're getting more aggressive. They're getting less like muted. And I think Akiya Toyoda, who's, you know, the grandson of the guy who started the company a long time ago, he really wanted that. He wanted more passion for the brand. And they seem to kind of be doing that fairly well. I kind of like it.
Yeah. Well, good. Now, did you drive a whole bunch of those down there? Like, how many total vehicles did they show? Did they show their whole lineup or just the ones you've mentioned?
Mostly just the ones. They had vehicles all over the place, but the only ones that were like these kind of all new or heavily revised things was the BZ, the RAV4. I'm sure I'm forgetting some of the ES. They were talking about new colors. There's these new colors. What is it called? Like Wave Runner or something like that. It looks like Miami blue, which is one of my favorite shades.
Blue.
So
let's talk blue about that.
Porsche color. Yeah.
Would you say that that's does it work on those big Toyotas SUVs?
It works for me, but I am a color fanatic. I always make fun of black, white, silver, and gray because there's too many of me. I make jokes about how you can drive down the street with someone in your car and then go, freeze, find me a non black, white, silver, or gray car, go. And it's just fun to watch their head rotate. There's one. So I'm kind of over the black, white, silver, gray thing. So the more wild the color is, even yes, on a Camry or a 4Runner or whatever, the more I like it. And so I do like what I would call Porsche Miami blue, but Toyota's calling it Wave Runner or whatever. And that's they showed that color. And then they let us off road and do a road course with all the GRs. And that was pretty cool. So yeah, there was a road course we got to go to, Mark, and we were driving, the GR Corolla, the GR 86 and the GR Supra back to back around a fairly cool road course that was probably like an hour and a half outside of Dallas. It was a bit of a haul, but it was worth it when we got there. And then there was an off-road course and we got to take Toyota, you know, TRD Pro Tacomas and Trail Hunter 4Runners and even the Lexus, the big Lexus, luxury Lexus LX and all, and do crazy off-road things. So, you know, I wish the domestics, remember when the domestics used to do this back in Detroit, they'd have like a coordinated thing. You'd go back and hit Chrysler, GM and Ford in a row and drive everything at like their proving grounds all in 1 week. You just have like a day and a half at each of the brands. No, they don't do it anymore. And I credit Toyota for seeing that, picking up on that. And now they're the only brand I know doing this. And it's very cool.
All right. What were the GRs like on the track? Are those front wheel drive? Are you getting torque steer? Is the inside front tire spinning and no traction's going down? What was that like?
It was awesome because I got to answer all those questions you just asked. You get to go back to back in the different GRs. And first of all, Toyota has three GR products and none of them the Supra GR is kind of pricey, but if someone would have told me 5 years ago, there's going to be all these like versions of high performance cars that are going to be available from this brand called Toyota that you can buy for not much money. I think a lot of people, myself certainly, would have been like, no, Toyota's not going to do that. So you're out on the track and you're hopping between the Corolla GR, which is really fun, all-wheel drive and manual shift available. And it's very innocuous. It's not going to hurt you because it's got all-wheel drive. It's almost like an Audi. It's all very smart and how it apportions the power, handles well. And then you've got the GR86, which is like the lightweight two-door coupe thing that they've got, rear-wheel drive. And that car is really fun, super balanced, and it's very playful. And then you got the GR Supra, which is very powerful, and it's got a twin, you know, it's got a turbocharged 6, it's got a lot of horsepower, and it'll rotate on you. So you got to kind of be careful. So it's kind of like, you know, Goldilocks. To me, the GR86 was the perfect one. The Corolla is great for a starter person who wants to start trying to play around on tracks with a performance car and they're not going to hurt themselves. And the GR Supra for someone with a lot of money who wants to really play and get sideways and be careful though about it, that's good. The GR86 is right in the middle. It's playful, but it's probably not going to hurt you. It's light, a rear drive only coupe. I like that one a lot.
Okay. I remember when that 86 first came out, it was a Scion. What was the Scion FRS? And yeah. They had that set up, of course, rear wheel drive, a two-door coupe, and they put the same tires on it that were on the Toyota Prius. And as a result, you would think, oh, that's really dumb. But the thing slid around a lot and it was just so much fun. It was a blast. I assume, especially with it in GR trim nowadays, it probably has pretty meaty, grippy tires. Is that the case? I mean, it feels a lot more stable than the original one is what I'm saying. Is that correct?
It does. And then yet because of, I mean, it's, I think it's got, it feels like it's got 50-50 weight balance. So I guess it doesn't really matter what it is because it feels very balanced and very light, Mark. So a fairly high threshold before things go sideways, and then they go sideways very progressively and fun, to the point where I was like purposely like rotating it around corners and spin, you know, sliding it through corners without any fear, but just giggling inside there because it was so playful. So a really fun car.
All right. I had a little bit of fun too, not in a Toyota, but in a sort of a competitor to the Rev4. Well, not a competitor to the Rev4, competitor to the Lexus UX, which does that sit on a Rev4 chassis underneath?
Yeah, anyway, I think so. Yeah.
I was in the Acura ADX, which is Acura's new entry level vehicle. It's the least expensive Acura, I think, other than the Integra, of course, that they have ever had. Certainly the most affordable of the crossover utility vehicles, the ADX. It is brand new. It is, of course, it rides on a lot of the platform is shared with the Honda HR-V, but then they load it up with a lot of stuff that you don't get on the HR-V. Most notably on my car, a 15-speaker Bang & Olufsen audio system, which is becoming more and more important in cross shopping. When people decide which car they want to buy, they look at that, and that's, you know, that actually makes a difference. So the all new entry level crossover starts at $36,395. It has 190 horsepower, which is more than the HRV, I would like to point out. It has a CVT transmission, which is usually a deal killer for me anyway. But I didn't really notice it, even though I was like stomping on the gas a lot, maybe just because it goes up. The red line is 6,000 RPM. And I kind of liked it. It was fun having Carl and I both the week before drove the Volkswagen Tiguan, which is the same basic proportions and size. And I mean, you could say it was a competitor, but it's not. Tiguan's not really a luxury competitor. It's kind of like I don't know what you would call it. It's a different kind of car, but that one was also sporty, but it was sporty in a more harsh way. This ADX is sporty in a softer way. It's easier on your kidneys, on your back, on everything. It's very comfortable. There's a little bit of roll in it. So that functions as feedback when you are, driving it, or you're going around a corner, you can kind of feel what's going on a little bit better. I really enjoyed it. Now, a friend of mine at Auto Week said, "Oh, it's just an HRV," and I said, "You know," so I had to defend the ADX there, and I said, "Look at the spec sheet, and I think you will find that there is a lot more to it." For instance, the one that I had was rolling on 19-inch alloys. I had a 12-way adjustable power driver seat. And of course that 15-speaker Bang & Olufsen sound system. Now with, that's just, you know, the part of the list of luxury amenities that go onto this. But the interesting thing is that Acura lists competitors for this as the Audi Q3, the BMW X1, Mercedes GLE, and the Lexus UX. So that's a pretty formidable, list of, competitors, I would say. And the pricing for them is not, they're not that far apart on all of those. So, I would imagine that the X1 is maybe more fun to drive, but, it's been so long since I've been in an X1. I couldn't tell you, but, this one, it was fun to drive. And, I don't know. What do you think, Carl? Am I making a good case for the ADX?
No, you are. And I think it was smart for Acura to jump in there with that vehicle because it's another segment of the market that buys SUVs. And once upon a time, I thought that you could slice the SUV market too thin. And now I've realized, no, you cannot slice the SUV market too thin. You could keep making more and more versions and just, well, this one's like 2 inches shorter and like 100 pounds lighter than the other one. So it's a whole nother bottle, you know, and they'll sell.
And I will say the ADX, for some of the sportiness, it comes from things like they had a dual pinion assist electronic power steering. And I had to actually look that up and see what it is. That's two pinion gears on the steering rack, one for the primary steering and one for the electric assist. And it, the front suspension, they were describing low friction bushings. So, you know, it's smoother in its transitional handling. Without harshness, it actually reminded me, I think it's blasphemous to say, it reminded me of a GTI. How blasphemous is that on the scale of one, on the blasphemy scale, the scale O blast? How bad is that?
I don't know. You're saying a Japanese car with a CVT reminded you of a GTI? I'm sure there's some
bad. I
GTI fans out there getting ready to storm the studio with pitchforks and torches. You better not say that again.
I should turn in my car guy badge. So it's a 1.5 liter turbo 4. As I said, makes 190 horsepower. And the curb weight of mine was pretty heavy for being in the compact class, 3,611 pounds. So it gets to 60 miles per hour. Car and driver says it'll get there in the low eights. I did a hand-timed one, which, you know, is the least accurate method of anything. And I hand-timed it to 60 in a little over nine seconds. So I don't know how accurate that was. The Tiguan gets there a second faster. But, you know, I think we're kind of splitting hairs, which is what they want to do in the compact segment. So the Acura, again, it lists all this stuff that you get standard on it. For instance, you get Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, wireless phone charging, which if you get into a car that doesn't have wireless phone charging nowadays, we kind of go, what is wrong with these people? This one has that. It has 5G connectivity, which I have never mastered. Have you ever actually mastered 5G connectivity, Carl?
No, but it's coming to more cars. I might have been the RAV4. One of the cars at the Toyota that they were saying, this is our first 5G equipped car and all. So that is becoming, you know, 5G is just much quicker than LTE. So every car that's had a Wi-Fi hotspot, and that's been years that cars pretty much all had them or could get them, they've all been LTE. 5G is much quicker. So it's exciting to think that you'd be in your car and use its Wi-Fi hotspot and be pretty fast as opposed to just kind of getting by.
So is that the kids in the back seat with their tablets can get on the internet? Is that kind of basically what the 5G connection does?
That'd probably be the most obvious use of it. Although I would guess things too, like remember all the cars now can be updated while you're sitting in your car in your garage overnight. You know, they find out that they're not a better way for the infotainment. They want to update the software and the traction control for some reason. If it's got what they call it, over the air updates is the term, Mark.
OTA, baby.
OTA, baby. And if it's an OTA capable car that also has a 5G hotspot, those updates are going to come flying in. So that's pretty cool.
All right, we got less than a minute to go here. I will just add, it also has Google and Alexa built in, 5 drive modes, cameras galore. Nothing can possibly go wrong while you are driving this car. That is the Acura ADX. I liked it. I had a good time with it. So, and you will have a good time. Please have a good time this week out there driving. I hope you go to some of the things that we mentioned in the calendar section. Hopefully, and I know Carl is hoping this too, Michelle will be back next week. Come back, Michelle. All is forgiven. Be sure and stay tuned for Rhapsody in Black, music that sounds great on your car audio or your car radio. They asked me to say that, but it's true. It's good music. It's a fun show. Lots of really cool stuff. You will enjoy it. And we will enjoy seeing you or hearing you or talking to you next week here on The Car Show. Africa,
yeah. DJ Namde from Radio Aphrodisia. Join us every Saturday as we nice up your weekend. It's all about music from Africa and the African world. Radio Aphrodisia, 4 to 6 p.m. It's Champeta Criolla from the coast of Caribbean, Soca Calypso, Juju Music, Musica Afro-Cubana, Cha-Cha-Cha, Afrobeat Highlife. It's all in the mix. Radio Aphrodisia, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Showtime. Tune in!
Support for KBFK comes in part from journalist Chris Hedges, who will be having a fundraiser for the station in Los Angeles discussing his book, A Genocide Foretold, reporting on survival and resistance in occupied Palestine.
The event will occur on Saturday, May 31st at 5 p.m. in Culver City, California, with exact location shared upon RSVP. More information on tickets are at kpfk.org, where there is a clickable Chris Hedges banner.